Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're on the air, Book Buzz. This is Susanna Greenberg's show, all about books and writing, authors, and everything interesting to do with them. And today, our guest interview is with OTV magazine editor Kara Post Kennedy and writer James W. Gaynor. They've worked together as editor and writer. They're both writers. Kara Post Kennedy is the editor-in-chief of OTV magazine, contributor at Huffington Post, and has a weekly column on the Good Men Project. James W. Gaynor is a writer, poet, and sculptor, and most recently the author of Everything Becomes a Poem, Poems by James W. Gaynor, and has made contributions recently, guest contributions to OTV magazine, including When the Dog Bites, Lonely Fruit, and That Thing No One Will Tell You, and Musical Chairs. Very popular contributions on the OTV magazine. Welcome to you both.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Kara, I'd like to hear about, you know, the editor-writer collaboration, how the magazine is produced. And let's start with, you know, how do you choose content for the magazine?
Well, one of the nice things about the magazine is that every month we have a new theme. So I'm looking for content that is about whatever our theme for the month is. So every month we have kind of a fresh perspective. So people submit to me, and we publish pretty much every format. We've had comics, we have art, we have poetry, we have nonfiction, fiction, personal essays. So people submit these to me in the umbrella theme for the month, and I go through them, and I choose and I curate the content to appeal to the readership that has been developed at OTV. And it's a very fun process, and I feel like it means that every month we have very fresh content.
Fresh and varied, and understand James's piece, When the Dog Bites. James, maybe you could tell us about your guest piece, and how did that come about, that When the Dog Bites, as the title of your essay, appeared in OTV magazine?
It's a kind of interesting story. Kara and I were speaking, and the magazine had published two of my poems in the previous issue, maybe it was the issue before that, Kara, I'm not sure.
It was the November issue, the music issue.
The music issue, and there had been two pieces, Musical Chairs and That Occasional Howling Thing, I believe.
That thing no one tells you.
That thing no one tells you, yes. And we were talking about the fact that the poems had gotten a good response, and Kara had, we were talking, and she said, well, maybe we could do something. You have the book that's being published at the end of November, and maybe we could do something with the poems in the book. And she said, Kara said, I did notice that there are several poems in the book about your dog, Emily Dickinson. And I said, well, I hadn't really noticed that, but Emily is sort of a star at the moment. Because we had had an encounter on the sidewalk of New York on East 75th Street where there was a mad bicyclist, riding on the sidewalk who knocked into a woman with a stroller and then kept on going. And I was walking Emily, and I stepped in front of him and blocked him with my hand out and yelling at him, and the woman is screaming, the baby is crying. And he then tried to punch me. And I used to be a bouncer, so I warded off his punch, but I dropped Emily's leash. Emily is a 12-pound Shih Tzu mix and looks a little bit like a dust mop. And the next thing I knew, she was making these incredible sounds and had sunk her teeth into his calf. And that was the final straw. And the guy, I think he was a German tourist, he started yelling in German, he picked up his bike, and he ran off into the middle of the street, pedaled off furiously, Emily is off her leash. She trots over to the mother who's picking the stroller out of the tree well and is getting some adulation, and then does her signature thing, which is she untied one of the woman's running shoes. And then Kara says, oh, this is amazing because the theme is, and Kara, over to you.
Well, the theme for December was a few of our favorite things from The Sound of Music. And one of the lyrics, of course, is when the dog bites, when the bee stings. And we had a good laugh about that because we had wanted to kind of close out the year after, you know, November being such an upsetting month for so many people. We had wanted to close out the year with some uplifting pieces and some humor and some what are your favorite things? What do you turn to when the dog bites, when the bee stings? And so this story could not have been more perfectly aligned with the theme that we had going for the month. So that's how the piece was born.
And then Kara, go on.
I was just going to say, and then at Kara's urging, I went through and realized that in my new book, Everything Becomes a Poem, there are 9 poems that basically were inspired or are about Emily. So I was able to write the article, and then what we did was we created the Emily poems, a nonet. They were sort of an accidental and unintentional nonet, I think. Right, Kara?
Correct.
Right.
That's true. You know, I had read the book, and I hadn't seen the theme of Emily, although I enjoyed all the Emily poems. So I think that's something that a collaboration between the writer and an editor can highlight themes that maybe even the writer sometimes might not be aware are there. So that's an interesting aspect of the collaboration, I think. And then poetry is not known for being wildly popular in our society, although it's certainly important. And so how did the piece do, and were you surprised by the following that it had, Kara?
Well, I published it on a prime day because I felt like having this wonderful story up front, you know, to tell about Emily and her heroism would draw some people in who perhaps weren't necessarily looking for poetry, if you know what I mean. Yeah, the wonderful article aspect of it, and the piece was popular, but the way that we publish on OTV is we publish between, let's say, 12 and 18 pieces a month, so they're spaced out. And as each new piece comes up, the pieces that have been previously published tend to kind of trickle off, you know, as the new piece gets attention, and then, you know, we move on. Well, this piece never trickled off. It started very strong and well, and, you know, oh, good. I thought this is doing nicely, but then it didn't stop doing nicely as the month went on. It was the audience built and built and built, and by the end of the month, not only was it by far the most read piece of the month of December, but it was one of the top 5 pieces for the year 2016 on our magazine. It was extraordinary what the reaction to it was. A huge driver on Facebook. It got shared. It got passed around quite a bit there. That was huge for the piece. And it was really remarkable. And, of course, you know, we seeing the popularity of it continued to promote it, you know, on Twitter and, you know, with our readers, and it just absolutely took off. There's no other way to put it.
It's amazing because I've gotten fan letters for Emily mostly on Facebook from people in Japan and Chile, Belgium. I got a nice note from one of the directors of the Emily Dickinson Museum in Amherst that said that they felt that Emily was embodying the fierce spirit of the poet after whom she was named. And, of course, now I'm dealing with the fact that I have a star as a dog who is probably in negotiations for her own reality TV show, as well as a line of artisanal dog
dog jewelry, maybe, clothing.
that could happen.
One of the things that was really remarkable to me as an editor, not only was the success of the piece absolutely extraordinary, but coming into this month, coming into the new year, and coming into new themes and coming into new articles, the piece has continued has continued to do well. It's actually the second most read piece we have for January as well. And we have decided for next month, for February, our theme is love. So we decided to do a quick retrospective of the top five articles that were published on our magazine last year and call the article Things Our Readers Loved. You know, these were the top five things that we published last year. What was amazing to me in going back to research this was that three of the five pieces were poetry. Three of the five most popular pieces that we had on the magazine last year were poetry. And let me tell you something. Poetry is a fraction of what we publish. In each month, that 12 to 18 pieces, poetry will be two or three. So the fact that of the top most read pieces, three of the top five are poetry, I think really speaks to how relevant poetry is and how much the readers can respond to poetry. It was a really phenomenal thing for me as an editor to realize, especially going forward in choosing my content.
Well, perhaps it has something to do with access and giving a place to new voices. You know, that's an unusual thing that you're doing. You know, there are sort of older, more established venues, but this is a new voice, both in the terms of the voice of OTV Magazine, and which you are the editor of, Kara Post Kennedy, and the writer and poet James W. Gaynor, who is your guest poet. That's terrific. Get to have a confluence of all the things, the Twitter, Facebook, James's book, everything becomes a poem, and the magazine, OTV Magazine, all working together to maybe reach new audiences and more involvement than might have been there before without it. I think that's a terrific thing.
Well, it's exciting for me to be able to put content out there. And you know, we really are always looking for, you know, a new voice and a fresh perspective. And we publish everything, like I said, fiction, nonfiction, personal essays, poetry. I mean, from soup to nuts. But we're always kind of looking for a fresh take. And when we publish something, it's something that we and the publisher and I, Shireen Mansfield, are excited about. You know, we want to promote that. We want to get out there and get the audience to read it. And we have a terrific following of very engaged readers who respond to the pieces, who let us know what they think of the content, and very positive, very supportive. And that's the environment that we want to bring our readers and our writers into.
Excellent.
And one of the things that's been most satisfying for me, because in addition to being able to work with Kara, and poets tend, I believe, or at least my experience as a poet, which I've been since I was about 12, so we're looking at well, more than 60 years of poetry, tends to be rather solitary. And when you find somebody who likes what you do and also gives you good feedback and then the ideas and says, well, let's go with this, this is good, and then being able to put, for example, I hadn't realized there were this number of poems about Emily, and then putting them together was its own poetic journey for me, because I got to examine a little bit of my own process, because I hadn't done this consciously, but there were 9 poems out of 60 in the book that were, in fact, in some way having something to do with my life with Emily Dickinson Gaynor, my rescue companion, with whom I fell in love, I think, up at the Animal Control Center here in New York City. The eyes met, and quite frankly, I did hear a voice in my head that said, you're late, let's go.
And speaking of late, I'm going to awkwardly segue to the fact that we have only 40 seconds left, so I just want to repeat that we have been speaking with writer James W. Gaynor. Please get his fabulous new book of verse called Everything Becomes a Poem, Poems by James W. Gaynor. And please check out Kara Post Kennedy's new magazine, OTV Magazine, which can be found online at otvmagazine.com. And I want to thank you both so much for being here. It's been fabulous chatting with you both. And
thank you,
will be a wrap. Thank you both so much. See you online.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care.